Now, the history of proroguing Parliament goes all the way back to the 15th century. Essentially, it's the act of suspending the Parliament, allowing the monarch to introduce a new session. But the ancient practice is freshly controversial after Britain's Prime Minister Boris Johnson convinced the Queen to prorogue Parliament just weeks before what could be a cataclysmic split with the European Union. This week, a Scottish court ruled the move unlawful, suggesting Mr. Johnson lied to the Queen to get her to approve the move. He denies that. For British parliamentary historians, there are new pages being written, as our European correspondent Bridget Brennan found out.
The lights have gone off at Westminster at a dark time in the United Kingdom's history.
The Lords who are authorised by Her Majesty's Commission to declare her royal assent to acts.
This week, Blackrod entered the House of Commons to prorogue Parliament to the cries of no from MPs who wanted to stay in their seats. This has been one of the most dramatic weeks I've covered at Westminster. And in the middle of Brexit, that's saying something.
If it were to be the case that the government had misled the Queen about the reasons for suspending Parliament and the motives for it, that would be a very serious matter indeed. Indeed, my view would then be the moment for Mr. Johnson to resign.
We've been going on in this Parliament now for longer than any time since the Civil War. We need a Queen's speech.
Look, the whole thing's a mess.
Now, for every moment Parliament remains prorogued, the British government are breaking the law.
Here's the part where I admit I had no idea what it meant to prorogue Parliament before these last few weeks. I've come to meet someone who does have an in-depth understanding of the procedure and the way in which it's been used over the centuries.
I was always interested in politics and less so in Parliament. I don't think people in the UK tend to pay necessarily huge amounts of attention to the kind of everyday details of what happens in Parliament. But I stayed in academia for a while. I was a historian, and then I ended up leaving academia, wanted to be in a think tank, came here to IFG and ended up working on Parliament just at about the time that Parliament became the big story in British politics.
Yeah, well, like Parliament's been the story this week because not for what's happening, but for what's not happening because it's essentially shut down. Explain for us what's happened and what's been the reaction.
So Monday of this week, Parliament was prorogued, and that's basically a fancy term for saying that it's been temporarily suspended between the end of one session of Parliament and the beginning of a new session of Parliament, and that's due to happen on the 14th of October. But this has obviously been hugely controversial here. Prorogation is entirely routine. It happens at the end of every session of Parliament, so in itself, it's not a controversial measure. But the fact that Parliament is being prorogued for so long, for 5 weeks, which is very unusual in terms of its length, and the fact that this is happening at a time where a Brexit deadline is looming has been hugely, hugely controversial.
This has been an exciting week for Dr. Alice Lilly. She's a senior researcher from the Institute for Government, a parliamentary geek and an historian. So we've seen people out in the streets who wouldn't normally be keeping an eye on Parliament, but it seems to have sparked real fury in people to say, you know, maybe we don't watch PMQs every week, but we really want the Parliament to be open at such a crucial time. I mean, was it to be expected that people were going to be really affronted by this?
I think it was to some extent to be expected. There were rumours earlier this summer that Parliament might be prorogued actually over the 31st of October, so the date on which Britain was going to leave the EU, deal or no deal. And that certainly sparked a lot of public anger. Now, that's not quite what's happened. Parliament will still have time between when it comes back and the 31st of October. MPs have already passed a law that will make it essentially impossible for us to leave on the 31st with no deal unless they've agreed to it. But I think it really has sparked quite a significant level of anger, and it's put a really big focus actually onto what Parliament does. So we've seen that the viewing figures for kind of live broadcasts of what Parliament's doing the last couple of weeks have been absolutely through the roof. It's like the new box set that people can't get enough of.
Series one and two of Brexit weren't so good, and now we're into series three and there's lots of twists and turns, right? So what is the Queen's role in all of this? Because there have been some comments on that this week after a pretty significant decision from the Scottish court.
That's right. The Scottish Court of Session ruled that the prorogation that happened on Monday was unlawful. And essentially, they found that the advice that the government gave to the Queen when they asked her to prorogue Parliament, they did not think that advice was essentially accurate. They thought the reason that the government was giving for prorogation, which is they wanted to have a Queen's speech and unveil a big new legislative agenda, they did not think that was the real reason, and that they wanted to try and limit Parliament's role to scrutinise government. So the Queen is the person who prorogues Parliament ultimately, but it's really important to remember that she only does that on the advice of her government. And the big convention for the Queen's role in all of these things is that the Queen is always supposed to be kept out of politics, because obviously she does not want to be put in a situation where she is potentially making political judgments. But the idea that the advice that might have been offered to the Queen was in some way misleading is obviously a bad look, and it raises a lot of significant questions.
My government's legislative programme will continue to deliver on its long-term plan.
In recent history, there's definitely been a couple of occasions where governments have been accused of using their power to prorogue Parliament for slightly political or controversial purposes. So back in 1997, John Major, when he was Prime Minister, he prorogued Parliament just before it was actually about to be dissolved, before an election anyway. And that was alleged by many to be so that he could delay the publication of a fairly damning report into a big scandal. And then back in 1948, Clement Attlee, the Labour Prime Minister, he prorogued Parliament in order to essentially circumvent Lord's opposition to a piece of legislation that he was trying to pass. But certainly the length of this prorogation is something that we've not seen since at least 1945.
Prorogation was first introduced in the 15th century when a monarch could dismiss Parliament as they wished. And to look at the longest spell ordered by a king or queen, you have to go back to 1629.
So the very, very longest example is actually if you go back several hundred years, when we sort of had the big showdown between Parliament and the monarchy under Charles I. Charles I essentially suspended Parliament for a very, very long time. And ultimately, it was that big showdown that led to the English Civil War. But certainly in modern history, it's something that's been far, far less controversially used.
Bridget Brennan with that historical update there from London.